On the 12th of Rabi, June the 8th, 632, Abu Bakr noticed during prayers that the people were distracted and knew at once that Muhammad must have entered the mosque. He looked much better. Indeed, somebody said that they had never seen him so radiant, and a wave of joy and relief swept through the congregation. Abu Bakr instantly made ready to stand down, but Muhammad put his hands on his shoulders, pushed him gently back to the head of the community, and sat down next to him until the service was over. Afterwards, he went back to Aisha's hut and lay peacefully in her lap. He seemed so much improved that Abu Bakr asked leave to visit his wife, who lived on the other side of Medina. During the afternoon, Ali and Abbas both looked in and spread the good news that Muhammad was on the mend. As evening approached, Aisha felt him leaning more heavily against her than before, and he seemed to be losing consciousness. Still, she did not realize what was happening. As she said later, "It was due to my ignorance and extreme youth that the Prophet died in my arms." She heard him murmur the words, "Nay, the most exalted companion in paradise." Gabriel had come to fetch him. Looking down, Aisha discovered that he had gone. Carefully, she laid his head on the pillow and began to beat her breast, slap her face, and cry aloud in the traditional way. When the people heard the women lamenting the dead, they hurried, ashen-faced, to the mosque. The news travelled quickly through the oasis, and Abu Bakr hurried back to the city. He took one look at Muhammad, kissed his face, and bade him farewell. In the mosque, he found Omar addressing the crowds. Omar absolutely refused to believe that the Prophet was dead. His soul had just left his body temporarily, he argued, and he would certainly return to his people. He would be the last of them all to die. The hysteria in Omar's compulsive harangue must have been evident, because Abu Bakr murmured, "Gently, Omar." But Omar simply could not stop talking. All that Abu Bakr could do was step forward quietly, and his composure must have impressed the people because they gradually stopped listening to Omar's tirade and clustered around him. Abu Bakr reminded them that Muhammad had dedicated his entire life to the preaching of Tawhid, the unity of God. How could they possibly imagine that he was immortal? That would be tantamount to saying that he was divine, a second God. Constantly, Muhammad had warned them against honouring him in the same way as Christians venerated Jesus. He was a mere mortal, no different from anybody else. To refuse to admit that Muhammad had died was, therefore, to deny his message. But as long as Muslims remained true to the belief that God alone was worthy of worship, Muhammad would live on in their minds. "O people, if anyone worships Muhammad, Muhammad is dead," he ended firmly. "If anyone worships God, God is alive, immortal." Finally, he recited the verse that had been revealed to Muhammad after the Battle of Uhud, when many of the Muslims had been shocked by the false rumour of his death. "Muhammad is naught but a messenger. Messengers have passed away before him. Why, if he should die or is slain, will you turn upon your heels? If any man should turn about upon his heels, he will not harm God in any way, and God will recompense the thankful." The verses made such an impact on the people that it was as though they were hearing them for the first time. Omar was completely overcome. "By God, when I heard Abu Bakr recite those words, I was dumbfounded, so that my legs would not bear me, and I fell to the ground, knowing that the apostle was indeed dead."